Hudson Valley Ruins is a photography and architecture exhibition at the New York State Museum based on the work of Robert Yasin.
Yasinsek.
Yasinsek, thank you. I had trouble with Robert, too.
Just you got it right the first time before.
Yeah, I know. And Thomas Rinaldi is here. Their 2006 book, Hudson Valley Ruins, Forgotten Landmarks of an American Landscape, studies the region's forgotten cultural treasures. In addition to great river estates, the book profiles sites more meaningful to everyday life in the valley, churches and hotels, commercial and civic buildings, mills and train stations. Show is on display at the New York State Museum through December 31st, and this Saturday the artists will be on hand for a guided tour and a book signing. So Thomas Rinaldi and Robert Yasinsek join us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Gentlemen, very nice to have you here. So let us begin with how this all came to be. How did you start doing this work?
Well, this really goes back to really in the 1980s when we were in elementary school and exposed to some of these old buildings in our hometowns. And I actually had a teacher in fourth grade who would take us on walks along what was known as the old Croton Aqueduct. And we would see some of the grand old mansions of Irvington and Tarrytown, as well as going on to hikes up in the woods and seeing remnants of some old properties, which kind of really fascinated me even from an early age to want to know what they were and know more about them.
And what did you want to know more and what could you explore with photography?
Well, I kind of wanted to know what was missing because you would see foundations of some old house sites or driveways that would lead into the woods, and it really piqued my curiosity to find out what used to be there and, you know, why was this built up and what happened to it and why did it all disappear. And when I was in high school, I had a photography teacher named Tom Johnson who had lent me some books about architecture along the Hudson River. And in those books were photographs of these houses that were long gone. So I was now finally piecing together the stories of these properties from what I had seen, when now with the pictures of what used to be there.
So when you look at this as an exhibition, what ultimately did you want to bring out?
Well, I mean, I think for both of us, part of the mission of this project has been to, for 20 plus years, has been to kind of, to raise awareness for these places and, to kind of maybe help other people to see the value that we see in them and the potential that we see in them. These kinds of buildings are typically written off as eyesores an awful lot, and, they're just sort of in the way, and it's kind of, they're sort of inconvenient, but in fact, there is very often a significant cultural value to them. And over again, we've seen some that have been, really beautifully restored to go from being something that's just written off as an eyesore to something that's like, a real kind of almost icon for its community. And, that in turn really turns into sort of an economic generator for the region. And so, I think, if people come away from the exhibition of the New York State Museum with that in mind, that's something we'd be happy about.
How did the two of you work together on this?
It all started on April Fool's Day, 1999.
Yes, indeed.
The division of labor in this.
Yeah. Well, it's really, it's pretty evenly divided. I think
we both do photography. We both do writing. It started, as Tom said, in 1999 when we both had photographs on our websites, which we produced for college classes. And my high school photography teacher, having been a founder of the Bannerman Castle Trust, had enabled me to get out there legitimately at a time when, not many people were able to go out there. So I had posted some photos of Bannerman's Castle, or Bannerman's Island Arsenal, as we call it. And Tom had contacted me through email that he had just posted some photos of places he had visited up in the upper Hudson Valley. And it was through that, first connection that we started to meet up and explore these places together. We were both doing the same kind of photography, both interested in exploring the history of these places and learning more about them and spreading the word about these places that we were seeing disappearing from our hometowns and from further abroad.
When you look at the disappearance, even from the time that you started this work and your book came out, I assume there's been big changes since then.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I came up from New York City on the train today, and it never ceases to amaze me. And even, when I think, wow, I've kind of seen it all, even just this morning looking out the window and seeing how sites that we've photographed together and separately over the years have changed so much in the past, really 20 years that we've been doing this or so. It's mind-blowing in a lot of ways.
How do you classify a ruin?
Well, you could start with any building that's really been abandoned, a place that is really no longer being used in any active way, or even not even being offered up for sale anymore. Some places just, you know, kind of fall into this state of disuse, and no one seemed to have any interest in their current or, you know, potential future use of them. And it's those places that we see as really potential losses, because some folks may be more interested in the property than in the building, and it's really imperative for us to go out and photograph these places before they change for the worse. And others may define a ruin as a building that's really kind of lost most of its structure. It's just, you know, the outer walls, and there are indeed places like that. There's just a few fragments of walls still standing. But I guess we would take a more broader interpretation of ruin to really include any number of abandoned buildings.
Yeah, we have had kind of philosophical discussions over the years sometimes about what you know what should be included. You know, the exhibition at the State Museum is kind of an outgrowth of a book by the same name, as you said, that came out now already 10 years ago. And you know, so we would have discussions about, oh, you know, that's a great place that we photographed, but you know, should it be in the book? Is it a ruin? And there's a photograph, at least one site that's in the museum that is not in the book, that I think was actually inhabited at the time of being photographed. So, you know, but still it had this kind of picturesque, you know, quality of picturesque decay. And it was still the sort of place that I think, as we, you know, when we came across it, sort of, you know, I think the alarm bells go off when we see something and in the back of our heads say, boy, you know, that might not be there the next time we go past. We better get the photo now.
And we've had a number of those experiences
where
we didn't take a picture and the next time we went by, it was gone.
Yep.
When you look at these pictures, I mean, obviously it's capturing a history. How much then do you want to find out the full history of what it was, how it was built, why it was built, and when it started its decline?
We probably did a lot more of that for the book, since we were trying to tell really complete histories of many of these places. In fact, in our book, there's about 28 sites that have fairly detailed histories written about them. And in some places, you know, there really may not necessarily be a major story to it, but, you know, as much as we can find out, particularly when something might have been built, we'll try to look up on old maps and see, you know, when that building might have first appeared, what names might have been attached to it. A lot of the older maps will show who owned a place. And from there, you can just really kind of go off in a number of different directions with just a little bit of information.
Yeah, we found in writing the book that we were able to tell really kind of a pretty comprehensive history of the region, of the whole Hudson Valley, through these buildings, you know, just through these sites, you know, and kind of weave it all together. And, you know, some people, you know, have sort of the idea that, oh, it's just abandoned factories. But really, you know, as you said at the beginning, it's all different kinds of buildings. And so, you know, we were able to kind of tell the story of the high architecture of the Hudson Valley through the great mansions and some of the vanished industries of the Hudson Valley, like brick making and ice harvesting and things like that. And then, you know, the railroads that line both shores of the river, through some of the, you know, the architecture related to that, both the some of the train stations that haven't fared so well over the years, and then the book and the exhibition both kind of culminate with this, you know, monumental ruin in Yonkers, the Yonkers Power Station, which it turned out was designed by the same architects that one of the co-architects of Grand Central Terminal, and so stylistically the buildings are very much related, and we felt that you know, gave a great significance to that particular building and made it a great building to kind of be the capstone for this look at this these buildings of the region.
When it comes to the decline, is there a commonality among these ruins as to what happened to them?
Well, you know, very often, you know, there's the sort of shorthand of demolition by neglect. You know, and there are, very often you have sites that are, you know, really that's just it. You know, they're just kind of left to rot until the owner can kind of justify getting rid of the place, however culturally valuable it might be, by saying, well, you know, it's just too far gone. And then fire, of course, is something that happens over and over and over again. And in fact, it was the very dramatic destruction of a historic early 19th century textile mill in Pleasant Valley, New York, in Dutchess County, where I grew up, that, you know, witnessing that dramatic moment was really kind of what sparked, pun not intended, this whole project for me. And there have been articles written. There was a famous Ada Louise Huxtable article in the late 1960s about the propensity of these buildings to disappear by fire, which is sort of an irreversible, you know, event. But that seems, unfortunately, all too often to be kind of the commonality between them.
Will there be ruins like this in the future? I mean, what we're building now?
We actually kind of did explore that to some extent in the introduction to our book, and there's certainly our modern ruins, if you want to call it that, in the form of abandoned housing developments and malls and places like that. So there always are going to be societal changes and cultural changes where, you know, some type of infrastructure is no longer valued the way it was before and certain buildings fall out of favor. But what we've really focused on in our book is the type of historic architecture that's just not being replicated anymore. When certain buildings disappear, whether it's something like Bannerman's Island Arsenal or the buildings of Hudson River State Hospital, you're just not seeing that kind of architecture being constructed anymore. So that's what we really miss about these buildings when they disappear.
We have a photo in the book of a vinyl-sided ruin, which down in Ulster County, which I think is not there anymore. And, you know, part of this was to sort of pose the question of how will the buildings that we build now weather the kinds of very sometimes seismic changes that these buildings that we've photographed, you know, have gone through. How will they survive those kinds of changes? And then there are some buildings that we photographed. We were in an abandoned factory somewhere, and there was a calendar on the wall from 2001. And I said, gee, Rob, you and I were out photographing places in 2001, and this place wasn't even abandoned yet. And that's happened over and over again.
Well, it's fascinating. Both of you are going to be at the museum this Saturday for a meet and greet. Meet and greet will happen from 1 to 2. This Saturday at the New York State Museum in downtown Albany. So there'll be a meet and greet with Robert and Thomas. And then you're going to lead an exhibit. You'll take people around and show people.
Yeah, gallery tour, 2 p.m.
We have about 80 photos that we selected for the exhibit that span back from the mid-1990s to 2016. And we'll pick out the highlights and we'll talk about some different topics and just kind of walk folks through the exhibit, which also includes architectural fragments and relics from some of these buildings as well.
Well, that'll happen from 2 to 3. The meet and greet from 1 to 2. 2 to 3 will be the exhibit tour and then a book signing from 3 to 4. The reception is open to the public, and again, it's at the New York State Museum in downtown Albany. The name of the exhibit is Hudson Valley Ruins. It is on display at the New York State Museum through December 31st, and again, this Saturday, the artists will be on hand for the tour and the book signing. To learn more, you can visit nysm.nysed.gov. To make it easier, that link will be on our website at wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Robert Jastrzemski and Thomas Rinaldi, I thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck with Saturday and the exhibit.
Thanks so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.